The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime and the broadcast. We're back, friends. It feels so good. It's been a month of football or almost that. And we've been covering NSL as well as following the Men's World Cup. But I'm here with Signe Butler and Shereen Ahmed, and I'm Amy Walsh. And we're here to unpack week 11 of NSL and also some very exciting announcements that we will get to after our look at week 11 and who's at the top, which is the Ottawa Rapid. But yeah, CPL continues, NSL continues, everything kind of rolls on, even though this grand spectacle, this theater, all the box office play and results is happening before our very eyes as the quarterfinals start for the Men's World Cup. But to NSL and the action straight away. So why don't we start here with the league standings, and it is Ottawa Rapid at the very top here. They're performing consistently as they did last year, but they're notching the points required. So they are 4 points clear of Montreal Roses in second. AFC Toronto, with their victory over the Tides at the weekend, vault themselves into third on 15. The Tides are at 14. And so everybody's on 10 matches played except for AFC and Calgary Wild, which are bottom of the table and sixth on 2 points. And Vancouver Rise is on fifth place with 10 points. So why don't we start? Let me see if I can take this graphic off the screen. Here we go with the first match of the weekend, which saw, let me see if I can pull it up properly here. Yeah, the Montreal Roses. So we will get into some gigantic, massive signings that they made in the last couple of days. But the star of the show, I believe, of the weekend, it's fair to say, was Evelyn Baddoo with a hat trick, Boychuk and Bennett. So all Bs, 5 Bs on the scoreboard here as they rolled over the visiting Vancouver Rise. DeFilippo with a lone marker there for the visiting team. But that was a big victory at home. So why don't we begin there? Why don't we start with you, Signe Butler? What were your impressions of that lopsided result at Stade Boreal?
It wasn't so lopsided in the first half.
That's true.
It wasn't, but I think Evelyn Baddoo, I think we were talking a little bit before we got on the call, so credit to Shereen bringing this up. I think it took a little while for her to get into the environment and kind of equate herself, know what her role was, etc. But I think you just saw a powerful performance from Baddoo in the right places at the right time. The audacity to chip the ball to herself and that banger of a goal, I believe it was her second goal.
It was the second, yep.
Outstanding. Just the confidence that she has on the ball. And obviously, a Ghanaian international, such quality that she brings to the Roses. But I think she's really fitting in. And I love the goal celebrations as well. It just shows mm-hmm. that camaraderie within the team. We saw some of those in the game as well. But yeah, I think she's a fantastic player, a player that we had kind of was in our focal point at the beginning of the season. What's she going to provide the Roses? And I think we saw just the essence of what she can provide in that game. And Vancouver, I know the scoreline, and they've had a couple of rough scorelines this year. A bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team, but you have to look at who they were missing up the spine in their lineup. It was very mm-hmm. apparent. Jess Cowart out, unfortunately. She's got a collarbone injury. So in the back, they were very thin without Quinn, without Stanton in the midfield. Missing just too many key players up the spine. And I think they just couldn't withstand the powerful Roses with, in that second half, especially.
And I think it's important to mention as well that Anais Ularbi had a goal that was called back for offside, and that could have potentially changed the match as well, because soon after it was just DeFilippo who equalized. But then, as you said, the second half, Montreal, it saw them take their chances. And if we look at the stat line, I think first half, as you mentioned, Cigna quite even, but on the balance of 90 minutes, 21 total shots for Montreal versus 8 for the Rise, 9 shots on target versus 4 for them, and much more accurate in the way of passing and the way that they were attacking. But I think, yeah, you did see a midfield that was dominated, and maybe that's what took control of the match for the Roses.
Yeah, and you can't let balls bounce in the penalty area. Like, that's just a no-no. Like, that's something you learn. Like, the ball doesn't bounce, like, in the defensive third of the field, and Vancouver got bitten by that.
Yeah, very poor at defending their own 18. Yeah, you saw that in the Badu second goal. Is, yes, you tip your hat to that brilliance, because that's what she brings to them instantly, is the ability to execute that. And then Montreal has missed, or did certainly towards the end of last year. And in spells this year, I think rectified with the addition of a focal point to their attack in Elise Bennett. And she's leading the Golden Boot race now. She's kind of distanced herself only by one goal by DB Pridham. So she's up to 7 goals. But Badu just gives them this game breaker. And obviously you saw it come to life there with the 3 goals. But yeah, just a difference maker, and the Rise team who didn't do a very good job at defending their own 18.
For me, this match was it was sort of like a very poignant moment in the season, right? Because Rise are defending champions from last year, and Montreal is arguably getting into their, I don't think they've just reached their stride. I think they have been striding, whether it's Elise Bennett, who's like part of that. But like, for me, Badu scoring the first hat trick of the season is brilliant. But there was almost like a relief from her that, like, okay, I've arrived now. Like, I sense this, that this, because we know the possibility, but there was kind of like a holding back of sorts, and now she's just been released, and it's like, okay, go be creative, go be free, go do what you got to do. And I really want to emphasize what you both are saying about the capitalization of chances, because there's so much soccer in which we've seen that, whether it's the men's national team or whatnot, they haven't capitalized on the chances. This is a perfect example of what happens in a scoreline when you do capitalize on your chances. And I mean, for me, this particular match, Vancouver looked very disorganized, which is not usually how they come across. I mean, we've seen some brilliance, and of course, you know, we've seen Justin DeFilippo like do her thing. We've seen Abdu, but Abdu hasn't scored in a couple of matches, and we're starting to see. And I wonder what that frustration. I'm sensing a type of frustration. Yes, they were missing key players, but also how they handle this kind of situation. I'm interested in that. Like, what does that look like moving forward? Is it a formation change? Is it something else? But we're also beginning to see, and this is a bit of foreshadowing, I suppose, into the next topics that we're going to talk about. Other teams are moving to fill the gaps that need to be filled. And maybe that's something that Vancouver needs to think about at this point.
Yep, I think that's a very good point. I think Abdu did get the assist, though. Like, so she's contributing offensively on that goal by DeFilippo, but she's a player who's putting herself in dangerous spaces. And then you're just missing like that follow through, that clinical edge. I think where it's required, 2 matches ago, she had probably 3 grade A opportunities to finish it, maybe not the same amount versus the Roses as the away team. But important to note that Lisa Pachursky was not in the roster for this one, correct?
To my knowledge, no. So that's, you know, I don't know what, I should know the answer to this being a broadcaster of the league, but I don't know. But that just shows you the kind of depth that they have, right?
Yep. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that to me was what stood out, because I didn't cover the match as well, caught up with it laterally and couldn't find her name anywhere. So that was curious to me, since it was her old team, and a team that she was part of won the inaugural championship. And then usually those are the narratives that come out of these types of matchups, whether they're home or away. And it's Abdu playing her old team, and then this year it's Pachursky playing the team that she came from as well.
And Pachursky, like, for, as we've discussed on the broads a few times, like, for me, I think in the top 3 players of the league this year, in terms of consistency and contribution, like, just, she's just a powerhouse.
Yep, for sure. And the last note on that one is Anna Karpenko, again, very strong, conceded that goal. Obviously, I think defensively in front of her, you're used to seeing Lucy Cappadona I think marshal that back line a little bit better. There were a couple of lapses in that match where you would expect more from the central defender, but Karpenko came up with some big saves in that match as well.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
So from there, why don't we go to, let me see if I can pull up the right one here. Oh, this is our score roundup. I don't know if we even went through it. So we just went through the 5-1 for the Roses. Then it was Ottawa Rapid who were able to get the better of the Calgary Wild 3-1, and then the match that Signa and I were both on were the visiting AFC Toronto side going to Wanderers Ground, where they were the victors on the day. So let me see here if I've got the right one. There we go. There it is. So this is the one that we're going to get to next. So it's the Ottawa Rapid. They rolled. Mellenhorst opened the scoring. Then it was Johanna Friedland. And then you got an insurance marker by Jasmine Wilkinson in stoppage time of that one. And Maggie Doherty Howard, the captain, was able to get the lone goal for the Calgary Wild. So in that affair, Shireen, why don't you kick us off? So Ottawa Rapid, clear at the top by 4 points, a little bit of rotation in their squad for this week, but they continue to be consistent.
That's one of the things I actually really enjoy about Ottawa is that consistency. We know what we're about to expect. We can expect it. They're like a Volvo. They're incredibly reliable.
We should actually ask what Katrina drives.
I think so.
Doesn't seem to me like a Volvo person, but we can ask.
I feel like, I don't know, Subaru or Volvo? I don't know. Maybe. We should ask that. Okay, so let's ask the viewers. If you could make every team a car, what team? I feel like Toronto would be a Porsche or a Tesla, because I just sort of feel at this point that's what it is. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
I don't know cars well enough to enter this chat. I feel like
nor do I.
Like you do have some intrepid listeners out there that would definitely take this challenge upon them.
To like, yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but anyway, we'll leave it with you, dear listener.
Yes. But I love that. I think we know DB is going to DB. We know that they're going to press the way they're going to press. We know that they'll pull up, like start from the back. I really enjoy Ottawa's open play because I feel like it's solid, it's consistent, yet it is creative. And like I just don't think sometimes two of their goals are the same. I mean, you're like, oh, DB does this, but it's in a way that I sort of feel like I'm reintroduced to something. And I like that because it keeps it exciting for me, right? Like, not that I ever tune out in that thing, but like an example of this, we finished talking about Bedu's goals, but her goals were very different. So that, like, you know, the style of them and the mechanics of them were different. So it's sort of like, oh, well, this one was different than this one. So I really enjoy that. Like, I never get bored when I'm watching Ottawa. And I remember like the rhetoric before the season started, like the league started, people like Ottawa, what does Ottawa know about soccer? Oh, I love it when these conversations come up now, because I was like, oh, this is what's happening. And like, that's a part of it. Like, I'm really excited at this part of the season to see where we are. And Ottawa has some stuff to prove. Like they had their road in the finals last year, their championship run was like, it was heartbreaking. And they do have something to prove. Definitely. So, and I love the fact that there's a tension for Golden Boot because it's not in the bag at all. We have a long time left. November is very, what month are we in? July? We're like four months.
We're a third of the way through, you could say.
That's it. Yeah. Like there's so much time left to figure out and for things to land. But for me, like I think they're a Volvo. I think they're consistent. And I think we'll keep seeing that. And I think they're a real contender for the championship this year.
I like that a lot. If I could just piggyback before you jump in, Sigs, on something that Shireen said, I think you hit the nail on the head, Shireen. Like, their dominance and their consistency is by way of solidity at the back and good collective defending, but variety on the attack. The amount of players that have to check the stats, but there are contributions coming from up and down that roster, not just DB. And you look at DB, will she get to 18 goals again this year? She still very well might, because she's certainly creating the opportunities that she needs in order to fill the net. So she doesn't score, but she smashes the post. So she's always a threat, but she has assists this year or so far through a third of the sophomore season, more so than she did last year. So that is part and parcel with the fact that she's been marked a lot closer because people know what she can deliver, but they also have the quality on the roster where other players are able to step up. And very quickly, top stats right now, I'm on FootMob right now for this. Goals per match, Ottawa Rapid, 2.4 goals per match, which is tops in the league. Roses are second with 2.1, AFC Toronto at 1.6. I think that speaks to how much they missed Esther Okoronkwo. Set piece goals, Ottawa Rapid, again, number one in this category with 24. The Roses are second with 21. AFC Toronto again. So the consistent three teams here named are the same, and AFC Toronto at 14. And then defending, set piece goals conceded. This doesn't really factor in for Ottawa, but they are not in it, which is good because it's set piece goals conceded. AFC Toronto is tops with 8. No, that's not true. I don't know how this is 1, 2, 3, but they have conceded 8. The Ties have conceded 9, and the Roses have conceded 11. Why would they list it like that?
On the set piece?
That's backwards. To me, if the title of the post is set pieces conceded, it would be a negative stat, right? It would be held against you because that's something you have to shore up. But would your number one not be the most goals conceded?
Yes, yes. That's anyway, how math works,
Mob,
isn't it?
I have quibbles with your stats. Back to Ottawa. Sorry that got derailed, friends. They are scoring goals, and they are scoring goals in a myriad of ways.
Yeah, and I think that, like, to Shireen's point, like, no goal is the same. Like, I love that. That's what you want as a football fan. But 24 goals in the season for Ottawa, leading the league, a variety of different goal scorers. You know, they're not just relying on the one DB Pridham, which she probably could have had at least 2 goals in that game against the Wild, to be fair. And Caitlin Talbert actually prevented a couple, and the post prevented another one. And so there could have been more there. I think the other point about Ottawa going into the season, that there was, you know, we talked about the heartbreak of last year and losing in penalties to Vancouver in the playoffs and having something to prove, but they also had something to prove in the midfield. And that was how they were going to cope with the loss of 2 veterans in Desiree Scott and Ellen Gibson, to, you know, the double pivot. How are they going to move on from that? It's a moot point, guys. Like, it is like, I mean, those players are missed obviously from a like quality standpoint and a leadership standpoint and all of that. But Ottawa has shifted the way that they play and added a lot more tempo in the midfield, and Kira Mellenhorst and Sadie Waite, you know, 2 Canadian born players in their first year of pro have been nothing but impressive. And I just think, and in combination with other players around them, you know, Mina Lee and Jung Min Young and who else am I missing here? Peoples. But you get my drift. Like, they're mixing things up in that midfield, and in particular, those 2 young players in Mellenhorst and Waite have been very impressive.
And that's a really good point to make too, that Katrina Peterson is coaching very well given what she has, because we did talk about it on the show. How will Rapid adjust to those losses in the roster? But this tells me they're being very well coached. Because if they're having this milk success with what would have been a massive loss, like, that's, I think it's fair to give props to that style, to the coaching, to understanding your team, understanding what the strengths are, and moving out of that and creating this new format in which it's working for you. Because I love the fact that, like you said, Sig, DB is not the only goal scorer. You know, Rapid, you know that. And like Amy said, the contributions from everybody are immense. And that's some good football right there.
Yep. And I also think Johanna Friedland, like we have to shout her out, like on the score sheet for sure, but is the architect really of the Mellenhorst goal, where you saw, and we talked about this before we pressed the record button, to me, this epitomizes the type of football that Ottawa plays, where there's that creativity, there's rotation, you're pulling and dragging defenders out. So the ball starts with Adamek, and then it goes back to Friedland. She cuts inside on that favored left foot. The ball gets played into DB Pridham. You see the defenders collapse on her. She lays it off to Mellenhorst, and then Mellenhorst is able to score and contribute from the midfield. So this is something that you see, but the personnel might change depending what game it is. And it's Mellenhorst next to Waite in the midfield, and then it's Mina playing that creative link, that playmaker in front of them. But when you look at the team stats right now, so you've got DB Pridham on 6 goals. I mentioned that off the top, just behind Elise Bennett for the Roses. Mellenhorst on 4 and Chu is on 3.
Yeah.
Whereas last year, I think the highest contributor, I think it was Benatti on 3 goals, and then it was DB Pridham on 18. And there was a bunch of other players on 3 and 2 and kind of chipping in. But now you're seeing kind of a more equitable contribution from the entirety of the team. And then Pridham is also on 4 assists. So that's 10 goal contributions for DB Pridham. Mellenhorst also has 3, and Mina Lee has 2 assists as well. So it's really, really deep when you're looking at the talent that's available to Katrina Peterson. But it's also her ability to rotate, and any given game, somebody might be stepping up to score the goals or to just give a really strong performance. And you've got Olivia Scott at the back and Jaleesa Harris that might come up a little bit later in our best 11 of week 11. It sounds redundant, but it's really saying the right thing, where they've played every single minute this year for the Ottawa Rapid. So outstanding stuff. So from there, let's move on to the match, Siggy's, that you and I covered. No, and we saw that one already. I'll get there eventually. Here we are. So it was, again, AFC Toronto at Wanderers Grounds. And this matchup, we'll get into it, but Hunter got the lone goal. Mm-hmm. And it was a really great run by Kai Novak, kind of a reverse pass to Hunter, who buries it, who looks to be back on form, because Kaylee Hunter, to me, at the tail end of last season, she gets called into the senior national team. You guys let me know what you think, but my take on it was that she looked like a really precocious kid, bags of talent, but looked a little bit overwhelmed. It didn't quite know what to do with all of the new partnerships that she was creating, the new experiences that she was trying to assimilate. And when she was on the pitch, it's almost like everything was being overthought somewhat.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's a lot, you know, for 17-year-old at the time, now 18, to, you know, have such success in her first professional season, having an amazing partnership with Esther Okoronkwo, the deadly duo up front, go into a national team environment where you're expected to play a different kind of role. You know, it does make you think, you know, like you're being tugged in a few directions, right?
Yeah.
I think we'll see Kaylee Hunter unleashed a little bit more now that Okoronkwo is back in the lineup. The partnership with Novak was apparent this weekend. I think that we also saw flashes of that last year. There was, well, one game, obviously Novak, the suspension, which nice cheekiness by AFC Toronto asking for the red card.
I love that.
Good job, socials. Good job, yeah. Socials.
Gianni, can we get ours suspended too? Retroactively. Thank you.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I'm glad you brought it up. I thought it was really witty. And just so much fun. And I love that social media for the league is engaged that way.
Yes.
Amazing.
But to the point of Kaylee Hunter, you know, just getting pulled in a few different directions, I think, is a lot for 17, now 18-year-old. And I think you'll see her unleashed, as I mentioned, with AFC Toronto, now that Esther is back and that partnership is rejuvenated. But I also think you will see her unleashed at the Under-20 World Cup, you know, where she is going to be a leader amongst the team, not going to be the kid on the team. She's going to be expected to be pocketing goals and contributing offensively. So I think you're going to see more of Kaylee Hunter towards, you know, the end of this season. And that'll be her focal point, really, is getting Canada to that group stage in Poland. Tough group. So, Yeah. I think that's a fair point, Amy. But I'm glad to see her, you know, driving to goal and looking for goal as she did against Halifax this weekend. She had more than a couple opportunities, but she buried the first one she had 12 minutes into the game.
Yeah. And it can be a streaky player, right? Yeah. But my only concern.
Strikers are streaky.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Strikers are streaky. Make another t-shirt. We should do it here in a broadcast. By the way, broadcast apparel and t-shirts available on the Footy Prime shop. Go check it out. We are footyprime.com. But yeah, Keely Hunter, sometimes that brilliance needs to exist in isolation, because Esther Okoronkwo coming back, like, she had instant swagger when she got her first minutes recovering from that meniscus injury at Swangard Stadium. Like, she just instantly toys with defenders, takes them on 1v1, slows things down, blows by people. So it looks like there was very little rust accrued in her time off, and then was on as a sub again on managed minutes at Wanderers grounds. But that partnership, which was so potent last year, we're not going to see very much of it because WAFCON starts in a couple of weeks. And so it will likely be, I think official rosters haven't been released yet, but it'll likely be Esther Okoronkwo. I don't think Linda on AFC Toronto, the Ghanaian, will be included in that roster. Maybe, though, we might be surprised. But Evelyn Badu will likely get taken by Ghana. So those stars will be gone for a while, not just for the duration of the tournament, but for a couple of weeks, you imagine, as preparatory, you know, whether it's practice or exhibition games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how long AFC Toronto, like, yes, Esther's finally back, but how long do you actually have Esther healthy?
Well,
I have a question though. I wanted to ask Sig, you were about Kaylee, and I'm sorry to jump back. I wanted to ask, as you said, to unleash Kaylee, does that mean that she was leashed? Like, what do you mean by that?
No, I just mean that maybe she's in her head a little bit about her responsibility with the national team and what's expected of her with Casey Stoney's side versus what her role is at AFC Toronto with Marco Milanovic. I think it's just two different mindsets and trying to, like, you know, the tug of war between those two mindsets and, like, what is your role within the NSL?
Yeah. And that's a fair thing to think about, like her role on U20, as you said, your role. I've never wanted to go to Poland more in my entire life than I do. I would love to go see this tournament. I think, mm-hmm. and for our listeners that may not be keyed in, the under 20 squad of Canada is so impressive. It is so impressive. And I think people sleep on it a little bit. So if you get an opportunity to, like, kind of dial in, that would be, and across the board, the teams are so impressive. So just, like, pay attention. But I agree, the layers of that, like her AFC Toronto role, the U20 role, VIV, the senior women's team, those are three very different roles that she probably is going to have to, if shoes that she's going to have to fill, three different pairs of shoes rather. So fair play to that conversation.
Yeah. And yeah. I think I'll add to that is, I was never as talented as she is at a young age, like 17 years old and playing pro. She absolutely made her place. And we had talked about her potentially getting poached, right? Like, I was, for one, surprised that she remained at AFC Toronto for her second year. I think that she did enough in her first year to merit, you know, using the league as a springboard to a different club. She's spoken openly about wanting to go to Europe. Right? She's made that known. But I think sometimes we know that progress is not linear. And sometimes when you're in a different camp, you have a different coach, different demands are being made and put on you, your time to kind of get all that together, you can sometimes see it happening. You can see the wheels turning, both physically and mentally. So maybe there's a little bit of a dip, there's a little bit of an ebb before all of that is together. She makes sense of it and she adds to her game and then she grows and she's a notch above where she was. To me right now, she looks like she's found the form where she ended last year, where she was so dominant. She's so creative. She's so audacious. She's marauding as a striker, right? And she strikes fear in her opponents. She really does. But there was something slightly off, whether it was timing or rhythm or overthinking, whatever it was. And now she's back and I expect her to gain another kind of level as we keep watching her. And as you're saying, Signa, she gets a chance to be dominant and gain confidence at her own age level, right? That's going to be huge. Then you can take that and come back to the league. And then you're just operating on a different level.
And to your point about DB Pridham, Kaylee Hunter's a known commodity now. Like teams study her. Teams know like what her movement is and where she's going and what her preferred foot is and what, you know, like, you know, so it's going to be adjustments on her part. And that's the part of being an elite striker is figuring it out. So,
yep.
Yeah. And, okay. and we should mention, you know, there's going to be Lauren Rowe has filled in very well for AFC Toronto. I just want to give a little nod there. She is the NSL player of the month, Lauren Rowe. She's going to be called upon now again, right? Because Esther is going to be away. So, her role may have been, you know, she might've been worried a little bit about her role with Esther coming back, but she plays a very big role with that team.
Yep.
She does. And those are two specific players that in my conversation with Sabrina D'Angelo, who recently signed for AFC Toronto, those are two players that Sabs mentioned specifically as being able to, she was following them and she was proud of them in this new generation of Canadian footballers coming up and playing with them. And like, I think that's really important part of that conversation is, what are we working towards, not only in the league, but as, you know, in the pool of players in this country? And I mean, my mother probably has salad dressing in her fridge older than Kaylee Hunter, but like the fact that she's so young.
What is it with our parents' generation?
It's salad dressing.
It doesn't last
good.
Forever.
It's still good.
It's still good.
And
it's
spices just a suggestion. In the cabinet.
Spices. No. I swear there's like garlic out. Salt from like, I don't know when, but the fact that there's so much excitement about that, and like even the other players are paying attention, and like that's something, particularly the dynamic AFC Toronto also being like the youngest squad in the league, like just having that, but also the pressure that is connected with that, I think is something that we need to think about as well in these conversations. Like she's 18.
Okay. 100%.
That game, I know we're kind of got like on a Kaylee Hunter striker tip there, but just about that game, like another impressive performance that I wanted to point out, and maybe this comes up in the best 11, but we knew that Halifax going in, one of their real strengths has been on the flanks and, you know, the attacking, you know, whether it was Cheyenne Allen or Julianne Valeron, who's been sensational this season. And I thought AFC Toronto did an excellent job neutralizing both of those sides, in particular Colby Barnett on the side of Valeron. I think Valeron, not that she, like, it just was a game where she didn't score and she didn't equate herself as much going forward. But I think a lot of that was due to Colby Barnett and the work that she does defensively. So just I wanted to give a little nod there.
Yep. I like that because it was Burns on the right, Barnett on the left, and they effectively pinned back Allen and Valeron respectively. And you also saw Sarah Stratigakis in the middle of the park playing a more defensive role, so that their defensive shape, AFC Toronto, and a rather pedestrian attack, it should be noted, and a lack of urgency on behalf of the Halifax Tides that saw that game stay 1-0. And you're able to see Manor collect the clean sheet again, but that was the team, it was everybody. It was defensively, but like they kept them at bay. Mm-hmm. And part of it was shutting down, I think, the menace coming from the flanks. If we can go quickly, because Shireen, you have to get going in less than 10 minutes. The best 11, I will have a graphic for everybody post. But this is what we collectively came up with on the bras that was instigated by Signe Butler. But here it is. So our best 11. So it's Talbert from Calgary Wild in between the sticks. Jaleesa Harris from Ottawa and Olivia Scott. Oh, Scott from the Rapid as well.
Oh.
Sarah Rollins in the middle of that, who's had an outstanding season. And then our next conversation will be a new addition there in a back line, so that you'd be even more rock solid at AFC Toronto. A midfield four, Colby Barnett from AFC Toronto, Kira Mellenhorst from the Rapid, Charlotte Bilbao from the Montreal Roses, and Johanna Friedland from the Rapid. And then a front three of Rhodes from the Tide, Badu on the hat trick for the Roses, and Kaylee Hunter, who got the lone goal for the visiting AFC Toronto. So very quickly, this is a lot to kind of gloss over. I don't want to gloss over it.
We won't gloss over.
But a very, very, very important investment, injection of funds to the Northern Super League as Apex, a sports investment firm. with Formula One drivers Sainz and Norris and Portuguese soccer player Diogo Dalo among its backers. This is from a CBC article, said in a statement, there's growing investor confidence in the NSL and in women's soccer, and they have invested $30 million in the Northern Super League. So what does that mean, friends? So this is a fledgling league. It's a year where a lot was proven in terms of investment, eyeballs, sponsorship, revenue, operation standpoint. I think everybody proved its worth. But what does that type of investment mean, Shireen, kind of a third of way through season two?
I think it means confirmation of, I don't like to frame it this way, but like very candidly put, survival. The most difficult parts of a league are the first 3 years in terms of how they establish themselves. You know, people are like, oh, can they make a profit? Bro, the NBA didn't make a profit for 30 years. So can we just calm down about that? And I've written about this and I've talked about this. So what we measure women's leagues is always for some reason different. But for this in particular, it means that the league can hire more staff. For sure, I know. It will facilitate operations. It will be able to do things. Right. It's not going to solve all the problems because nothing is ever seamless in any league. But the fact that what it does is offer a consistency and stability is just wonderful. Like, we all work in media. There's always this underlining thing of, oh, cuts, and this is changing, that is changing. And the stress that comes with that to do your job on top of having these uncertainties is wild. So I'm so excited for the league. I'm excited for what this could mean in terms of the line items of where the money's going to go. I don't know. I should ask, but like, they may not tell me. But all of this to say is this, it's like, it's also very encouraging because we know that Canadian investors are very conservative. And even though we have the data, Canadian women in sport has published multiple reports over the last couple of years on why investing in women's sport is such a good idea, particularly in this country. But I still feel like there needed to be a push. And I really hope this opens the floodgates or unleashes, I like the term unleash today for today's episode, for people to be marauding investors. So be a Kaylee Hunter as an investor.
Love that.
Do it.
Siggies?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I think the metrics of the first year gave confidence to Apex to say, you know, we're going to put our faith behind this organization. And we did see some Canadian national companies step up before the ball was even kicked in this league and support this league. You know, I'm not going to name them all, but I mean, there's some major national companies that had faith in this league from the very beginning. The fan turnout has been, I know sometimes you look at some of these CFL stadiums that the teams are playing in, you're like, oh, there's not many fans there. Well, according to the statistics, sorry, that was the voice I used for my husband and my cat again. Sorry about that.
And the naysayers, apparently.
And the naysayers. But, you know, the attendance was among competitive with the top teams in the world, and actually had better attendance than the French league, which I was surprised to see. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is some improvement to happen in terms of discoverability of this league. It's a crowded landscape in terms of sports in this country and women's sports in this country, you know, with the PWHL and now the Tempo. NSL has some discoverability that they need to do. And the injection of this, you know, will help, you know, I think that it'll help. Right. And I think the media, we need to step up. We need to keep supporting this league the same, you know, I know we do here, but all of us need to play a part in that as well of making sure that this league is known.
100% for what both of you guys said. Next phase of growth for this league also includes some juggernauts in terms of the signings recently. So Shireen, right before you have to go, Sabrina D'Angelo was announced a couple of weeks ago. She will play her first match July 20th. And in addition to that, another national team player to the roster for AFC Toronto in Shalina Zdorsky. And you had the scoop.
I did. It was pretty exciting for Sabrina to come. It was a big move. She told me that her Aston Villa contract was offered, like an extension when it came up. And you'll see from the comments from the fans from Aston Villa, because I don't think I've had as many commentators from England ever on anything I've ever done. They really loved her. They genuinely loved her. She's a lovable player. They were connected with her. But judging by what she said, it was time to come home. And like, I'm like, even my conversation with Shalina, and I'm sorry, the two of them coming at the same time was really, really sweet, because even though I had interviewed Sabrina, she didn't say anything about Shalina. She gave no indication. But when I interviewed Shalina later, she told me Sabrina was one of the first people she had talked to about this. And, you know, there's a special bond between a keeper and then, you know, their defenders. There's always that really, like, connect. There's a connection there. Or maybe my goalkeepers just didn't like me because I'm just assuming. I never played on the back line, but it was really lovely. And for her to comment that it's wonderful for them to do this together. They played on the national team together. They know each other. It's really lovely. It's a really sweet part of the story. I mean, Shalina, for all intents and purposes, I did make Sabrina cry like three times in the interview, which is really lovely. Shalina, no tears, but she was very thoughtful. She was so inflective. And her responses were really, she's so invested on growing the game. And what a wonderful time to come back home when everyone is soccer frenzied. Like, it's pretty brilliant. And of course, we talk about this, how the women's side has been a catalyst for that loving connection of soccer in this country. And they're both absolutely part of a program that did that. So it's really lovely. I mean, also the back line, and I've said this to you in our chat group, is like Fort Knox now. So, and that brings me to concerns, like legitimately for other teams, when somebody texted me and say, how is this allowed to happen? And they quite very frankly put, Billy Wilson is doing his job. That's why this is happening. This is what sporting directors are supposed to do. This is what teams are supposed to do. They're supposed to go out and find world-class talent and bring them, lure them in. And, you know, I was very interested in the process. I asked Shalina, like, did Billy slip into your DMs? How did this happen? Like, what happened? And she's like, no, it was a conversation with my agent, you know, and my family. And she said that. And both Sabrina and Shalina said they were very sold after their first conversation and presentation from Billy and Marco. So I want to know what that presentation is. Because it's very effective. So, and you know, there's also Rose's movement at the same time. So it's not only AFC, but this is what we want for this league. We want this kind of talent coming here, because what it does, it's domino effect. Other people will come too.
Yeah. And that will be on the horizon. Dope. Sorry, Sigs, for next week. Dear listeners, viewers, just so you know, we'll say what each team needs in the summer transfer window. That will be a broadcast topic next week. So if you have any specific questions about teams or who you might like to see make the move and drop into NSL, let us know. Hit us up in the comments section. Go on, Sigs.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the word is out about this league. I think, you know, the word was getting out last year just in terms of the product on the field was better than what a lot of people anticipated. Number one, the player treatment and the compensation is competitive with you know, I think that it's the top, three leagues in the world that the compensation is competitive with, right? So, you know, people are going to come, people are going to arrive, and that'll certainly help the discoverability, which I've already mentioned. Do you want to talk about Montreal and their acquisition?
Yeah, let's go. Before you dive into that, Shireen, are you okay to hang about for another 5 minutes, or do you have to split?
It's literally gray and black outside, and I'm supposed to attend a watch party for Morocco, France, which I think will be canceled because it's literally gray outside and storming. So to answer your question.
Is there a fan fest? Is that where you're going to?
No, not to the fan fest. It's weirdly, there's no fan fest this week. I'm going to Stacked Market.
Oh, okay. Right.
Nice, fun.
Good one.
But
okay.
Am I though? So anyway, can I hang out for like 5 minutes?
Okay, cool. So why don't you transition us just ever so slightly? Massive signings again, but just up the 401 with the Montreal Roses and two huge additions to their roster.
So there was a bit of a potential leak about this because somebody very smart had gone through the availability of Portland Thorns where Mimi Aladou had played. Previously was, and she wasn't available. So put those things together. I love women soccer fans. They're like the most intense and like so invested. So Mimi Aladou coming, for those that know her or understand the situation, this is no surprise. She's from Montreal. This is a very good fit. Hopefully it'll be fantastic. In addition to her is a French national, Eve Parisse, who, you know, huge again international experience, multiple World Cup experiences. I just think this is the roses punctuating the roster already. And Laaladou, dangerous in the middle. She's creative. She's smart. I don't think we've seen the best out of her that we could potentially. This is me editorializing. I don't think she got the shot she could have had in Portland. She was doing phenomenal in the Portuguese Women's League. I think she was MVP of the finals when they won the championship. But she just wasn't given that opportunity, I thought, to be the player she can be. She was also the one exception to Casey Stoney on the roster, who, as Casey has said, I need to see people getting minutes at their clubs. Mimi Aladou wasn't, and she was still named to the senior team. So there's a potential and a possibility, and I really hope. Like, with her and Elise Bennett, they're going to cause a lot of chaos, lot of chaos, and I'm totally here for that chaos.
Yeah, for me, Signa, I think what this does is it upgrades this Roses roster, gives them pedigree, it gives them known quantities and players who have played and toiled at the highest levels, and you drop them into positions where they need that type of threat on the pitch.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I like with Parisse, I don't like the back line for the Roses has been very solid. We've seen a little bit of rotation with Hill out right now. But I think Seto has been great back there as a right back, but not a natural right back, still learning, right? So, we'll see how she slots in and what Robert Rossatoyou does. But I think he's got depth at position, and I think that that's what all the teams want, right? Like, somebody goes down, you have somebody that can just slide right in there and immediately make an impact. And these are two impactful players that have played, you know, at the highest levels.
I have a question for you both. Do you think all of these signings are immediate starters?
It's tough because I think a lot of the coaches, when you speak to them, will say they need time to get used to the environment. And you're like, well, wait a second. Why do they need time to get used to the environment? They're like professionals. They know what they're doing. But it's a way to like get them into the culture, get them into the chemistry of the team. And I think that's fair. You may not see them right off the bat, with maybe the exception of D'Angelo, who I think you'll see her inserted right away. I think goalkeepers can kind of have a little bit more leeway, but like for, you know, a midfielder or for a defender, I think they need a little bit of time to acclimatize, even though they are professionals and have played at the highest level.
Yeah, I think it depends on fitness and, you know, how recently they've been playing. If they're on managed minutes, maybe there's an injury that's been undisclosed. We don't really know. But I mean, I think Aladou's fit. She's ready to go. You get her in there as quickly as possible. And Parisse as well. I think that the system that Rossatoyou has been playing this year allows her to either play in that position where Seto is, even though she is given very good account of herself as kind of the right-sided center back of a back three, or you go where it's either been Boychuk or it's been Pachurski. We've seen Trim there before she left, a kind of like that wing back position. I could also see Parisse instantly being put in there and making a huge difference to this side and the way they defend, and also the way that she can get up and down that line. And I think for AFC, to switch gears just really quickly, I think D'Angelo gets in there and that's an instant upgrade between the sticks, because you've got, I mean, Cody Yard is injured, but I mean, there was a lot of raw potential there, a lot of errors as well. Did very well last year as the starter. I think you've got Krzyzaniak, who's very athletic, who provides a lot of reflexive kind of reactionary saves, but even though she's 29, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes plays like a player who's still developing. So D'Angelo for me is your number one goalkeeper, is right in there. And then you're probably going to have to cut somebody loose. And I think Shalina Zdorsky is that left-sided player as part of your back three there that displaces Cathro. And whether she drops it immediately is a different discussion. It depends what Milanovic wants to do. But I see that back line potentially being Zdorsky, Rollins, Brewster.
Yeah. That's how I see the back line. And the other thing too, and Shireen, you mentioned this earlier, and just to say it again, like AFC Toronto is the youngest team in the league. and they've just added two veteran players. Like, that's the kind of thing they need, you know, like Pickett provides that for them, right? But like, they need other players that can really be that, that leader and that experienced leader. And I think both of those players will just add a load of experience to everybody else on that roster.
Yep. For, I mean, thinking about Hansen too, who's there, Soto. I mean, we spoke to Milanovic about how you integrate a player on the back line who's been out for 7 months when you don't have a reserve team. So like, if we go loop back to our previous discussion about the growth of this league, that will be part of it down the road as well, right? Is academies, reserves, reserve teams, that's part of the build of the infrastructure that we need as well. It's not just in the way of soccer specific stadiums, but it's about how you can serve these players well when they're being worked back to full fitness and give them meaningful minutes still, like you would in any other professional setup.
And how you can discover players. Like they discovered Lauren Rowe last year. Like Lauren Rowe came over on account of how well she played with North Toronto in League One.
Yep.
That's why she's on that roster today, right? It's that hard work at those levels that get you noticed.
Yep. Okay. From there. So massive signings, obviously two clubs. So we know that the rest of the league is going to have to keep up. We'll be forced to keep up. And I think that's a very good thing to make this league competitive. But shifting gears slightly is the Calgary Wild, because we know Sinead McSherry has done a very good job, but she has been vocal in the fact that she did not want to be the next head coach after Lydia Bedford left a couple of months or even less time to go coach the U23 team in England and left them scrambling a little bit. So the Calgary Wild have hired Australia's Leah Blaney as the new head coach. So 40 years old, Australian, obviously, and most recently an assistant coach of the Japanese women's team. So what do the Calgary Wild get, Sigs, with this signing and this person who's going to be at the helm?
I think probably an up-and-coming coach, a player that they played with the Matildas. So obviously a player, player first coach, if you will, in building those relationships. I think she's all about building those relationships. She's coming in mid-season almost does have a connection to Collie Johnson, who's unfortunately been out injured right now, but had coached her at the youth level. Doesn't have club experience. So, you know, how does that national team mentality fit into a club experience? We will see. But there was over 100 candidates interviewed for this job. Leah Blaney getting the...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. 100 candidates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that speaks to, you know how much she impressed that ownership group at the Wild. So I think that this is a positive direction for the Wild. They need positivity right now. I know that they're... You know, it's been a rough season. Like, there's no bones about it. Like, injuries, results. It just hasn't been. And the loss of Lydia Bedford back in March. Like, it's just been one thing after another, right? So hopefully this will be a positive start, new beginning, I guess, for the Wild.
And they need a sporting director too. I know we're going to do this next week. In terms
we'll
of
do this. Yes, we will expand. We will expand.
We'll expand.
All these teams, you know what? I know from talking to the other coaches that aside from Marco and Robert, I've talked to a lot of the other coaches on coaches calls over the last couple of weeks. There is stuff up the sleeve. There is things happening behind the scenes. Nobody would reveal anything. All I know is that there's conversations being had and, the coaches are leaving it to the people behind the scenes to get those things done, but there are things happening behind the scenes. That's all I know.
Yes. And but I will add to that, though, as a little bit of a caveat, is my questions about Lisa Pachursky and nowhere to be found on that roster, but has played a huge role for them in the first third of this second year, is Jackie Savitsky. To me, is a veteran quality player in the middle of that park, and Calgary has been missing her. And I'm trying to figure out, is she injured coming off the back of an international window? Like, what's happening with Jackie Savitsky for a player? And you keep the fans plugged in while your team is riding out a very difficult spell. It's important to have all the information as well.
Yeah, and we need to have that information too. Right?
Absolutely. Like,
Inquiring minds want to know. And she she's a friend of the show. She's been on the show before, of course, Jackie Savitsky. And I thought when Maggie Doherty Howard was out of the lineup after having thumb surgery, was really the only you know, I don't want to say the only cog, but really holding that team together. And I think Sinead McSherry had said a friend of hers had described Jackie Savitsky as the tugboat who kind of just keeps everything moving.
It's great. It's not sexy as a descriptor, you know, as a player to be known as the tugboat, you know, but I mean, I love it too. I think it's a really apt description for a player who can play that holding role, that defensive midfield position, or can play more of a box to box, depending who she's paired with. But she's absolutely somebody who knits together the middle of the park, and she has been missed for the Calgary Wild. So absolutely. On that, friends, anything else that you'd like to contribute before we press end recording here?
I missed you. Yeah, I am excited that we're back. The Broads are back. The Broads are back.
We
that should be
left.
A song. We never left.
Yeah.
Broads are back in town.
That's
I'm
it,
also.
Tina.
Come
I'm
on.
Also,
that was like, it was so obvious.
I know.
I'm also, yeah, just excited to be back. I love the NSL and I'm so glad it's here. That's about it. Peace out. I got to go and do something.
Agreed. Let's all peace out. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. And thank you for listening and watching The Broads and helping us to broaden your horizons. Yep. Cheers for watching and listening, everybody. Catch you next time.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
Missed you. Bye.